If you get caught up in the wrong agendas, you know what you'll do? You're going to fight for the wrong things.
Amen.
If you fight for the wrong things and you get attacked for it, that's a whole nother story. But if you're standing for the gospel, standing for Jesus, standing with your brethren, standing with the people of God, believing what He's given us to do, and that's your fight, and the adversaries come against that, He says, look, don't let it shake you.
Yeah.
Don't let it shake you how they deal with it. God is just manifesting that's somebody who still needs Jesus.
Come on.
And He's manifesting His work of Jesus in you. God is good, ain't He?
Yes,
He is good. Now, that's also a problem. If God is good, that's one of the most dreadful things that anybody could tell you. Because if He's good, what does He have to deal with?
That's bad.
We're not good, right?
Not good.
In and of ourselves. So if He's good, and He's always good, and because He's good, He's got to deal with sin. If He hadn't dealt with sin in your life, you're going to have to face a good God one day without having your sin dealt with, right? So because He's good, He came and dealt with sin for Himself, and we get included in that trusting. So we want to remember that. Man, He is good. And because He is good, that's also a terrifying news, because He can't just do away with sin, meaning He can't just look and turn the other eye to it. He's got to deal with it. And praise God, He dealt with it Himself when He took upon flesh and lived and died for us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, look, take your revelation that you brought with you today. Let's jump in it. Let's jump in it. If y'all would also remember Stephanie and the gang today, they're going to be headed toward Atlanta here shortly from Columbus, Georgia. They're going to a kids event over there with all our crew minus Elizabeth. And them, it'd be Lauren and Lydia and Blake and Marcus and all the kids. So pray they'll have a safe trip over there and a safe trip back tonight, back to the house. And I think they'll be coming back Tuesday, Wednesday time frame. They'll be making their way back across and coming home, and she'll be with us next week. But appreciate y'all praying for us. We had two good solid weeks with two churches, and thankful for the investment and you praying over us and the liberty to be able to do that. We believe God met needs, took care of some things, worked out some things, and we had a grand time with both of the fellowships that we got to work with. So your revelation today, let's turn to the Newer Testament. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians right now. We're about to wrap it up. Tomorrow we'll finish up, if I'm not mistaken. How many chapters we got in 2 Corinthians? 13. So we will wrap it up. We're up to chapter 12 today, but I want you to turn to chapter 10 if you would. So we got two more days, and then I believe we're going to be in the brief little book of Haggai, if I'm not mistaken, and then we'll stay in the Older Testament next month initially in the book of Hosea, in the book of Hosea. So we'll ask God's help that He would continue to reveal Himself to us, that He will show us ourselves, that we will see Him. He'll give us something to walk in and be able to be a blessing and to help the other people. I'll be in Sunday school class, talked a little bit about some of these things in chapter 10 this morning, and just talked about how what all the stuff that's going on around the world right now, and how we have to really, really, really draw close unto the Lord to hear from Him, to lean in on Him, to acknowledge Him, because if you're like me and you're like what we talked about this morning, you could easily let them push your buttons now. And when I say push your buttons, you'll let the old man out. You'll let the old dead man come alive. And that old dead man, every time he comes alive, Miss Barbara, he's ugly and he stinks. Y'all ever realize that? Y'all ever let the old dead man come alive? The old flesh, y'all let him come out every once in a while. You know, something that's been dead for a long time and he comes back out, it usually stinks, don't he? And he's ugly. And that happens when I let the wrong things push me the wrong way and stir me up. Now, I can't put the blame on them, because God's given me the ability to mortify my flesh, right? That's what He teaches us. Crucify the flesh. Mortify the flesh. Take these thoughts captive, and that's on me. I can't blame them. Keith, if I let the old man out, that was on who?
Yeah.
That's on me. That's on me. That's on us. So we've got to confess that and say, Lord, that was me. That wasn't them. Devil didn't make me do it. The world didn't make me do it. I brought him back up. I called him back up. And therefore, it's all on me. And I ask you to work with me, thankful that he is merciful with us. Amen. And that he can repurpose us when we do, huh? He could bring us right back and draw us to repentance and get us right back on the right track again. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you're there, I'm just going to start reading in verse number 1. And as we do this, we'll probably use a few other passages, but we just want to think about some of this stuff. These are some thoughts that have been put in me. These are some suggestions I'm going to put before you. In teaching these things, we want God to teach us what it means. We want God to teach us how we can apply it in everyday life. We want to be able to illustrate it to people around us. And we just want to be able to point people to Jesus, right? And what he's done in our journey. So, 2 Corinthians 10 in verse number 1. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Notice how he takes us to Jesus. And that's so important for everything we do. When we bring any ways of our living or thoughts or anything we do, we always want to look to the example that Jesus set for us. Because he is our substitute. He is our Savior. He is our shepherd, but he is our example in every facet of our life. You want to look unto him. And it's always important for us to point people to him. How did he deal with the same things that we have to deal with? How does he speak of it? What did he say about it? How does he work through it? What did he do? And that will help you. Now, you can't do that without God's Spirit at work in you. You need the Spirit, God's Spirit, God's presence, illuminating what Jesus did and why he did it. Because we've been reading through Corinthians, right, for the last little bit. We remember reading in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 where we were taught that you can read the Word all day long, but if you don't have Jesus, it ain't going to make no, it's got no life in it.
Come on.
Right?
Amen.
This Word will kill you without Jesus. Matter of fact, you're already dead without Jesus. And there's a covering, the Bible speaks of, a veil over us that we can't understand it, can't understand this gospel outside of God, what penetrating our life with the light of the good news of him in Christ. So we need him. Not only to know him, but we need him to walk with him.
Amen.
And to continue to walk with him. So hold your spot there with that in mind. Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians. Just a book or two over to Philippians, and let's consider this idea of the meekness of Jesus. Philippians chapter number 2. Today we'll spend this service and tonight looking at some of these things in light of helping and reinforcing and strengthening us with these issues that, man, we all going to have to deal with as the days continue to manifest and what's going on around the world. It's crazy out there, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy. Now, I don't want to add to the crazy. I want to be able to be in a position, Rusty, where God's doing something in me and in the little corner of our world and the little space that he's given us, the little influence that he's passed on to us. We're going to leave the rest of it up to him, but we just want to be true to what he's given us, faithful to what he's given us, and be difference makers, starting in our homes, in our churches, in our community. And look, if he decides to use us abroad, let him do what he wants with it. But we want to just be true to him right where we are. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is our example. Verse number 2. Well, we so close to it. Let's just read this. Look in chapter 1. Brother Shannon, we got to see this.
That's right.
This will bless you. I know it will. Look in verse 27. 1:27 of Philippians. Only let your conduct, your conversation, some translations may use. That's just basically saying how you live life. Let it be worthy of someone and something. Who is the someone? Jesus. What's the something? His message, His life. Look, let your conduct be worthy. Let it fit in harmony with the gospel of Christ. So whether Paul comes to us, an individual comes and he sees us or he's absent, others will hear of our affairs that we stood fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of what? Man, that right there ought to help us shake off some of this other crazy stuff. It's so easy to get caught up in agendas. It's so easy to get caught up in pursuits. It's so easy to get caught up with everything that's going to be thrown on us over the next several days and the next several weeks and the next several months. As long as you live in this world's going to want to throw things on you. So we have to be careful about the things we take up and lay our hands to and what we stand for. He says, whatever you do, whatever we do, we want our lives to be in light of Jesus and the message that He lived, striving to that together. Verse 28, when we do this, don't in any kind of way be terrified by who? This way of life has what? Adversaries to it. Our way of thinking has adversaries to it. This gospel that we carry, Karen, has adversaries to it. But I don't have to be terrified by the adversaries. Why? He says, which is to them proof of their what? Perdition. What does that mean? That they are under judgment. And how they treat the message, how they treat the messengers, how they treat the mission of Jesus is going to either be proof of their judgment that they're still under perdition, meaning they're under condemnation, and it's also proof that we have salvation, and that salvation is from God.
Amen.
So when you are attacked for what you believe, you don't have to fight it. You don't have to resist it. You don't have to be terrified by it because God will allow it, number one, to show you who they are, and number two, show you what He's done in your life.
Come on.
That's a gift, amen.
Amen.
And now He's going to explain just that. Now, if you get caught up in the wrong agendas, you know what you'll do? You're going to fight for the wrong things.
Amen.
If you fight for the wrong things and you get attacked for it, that's a whole nother story. But if you're standing for the gospel, standing for Jesus, standing with your brethren, standing with the people of God, believing what He's given us to do, and that's your fight, and the adversaries come against that, He says, look, don't let it shake you.
Yeah.
Don't let it shake you how they deal with it. God is just manifesting that's somebody who still needs Jesus. And He's manifesting His work of Jesus in you. But your battle's not with them.
That's right.
Your battle is what they still think. And our song, our last song we sang, remember it says that He delivered us from sin and darkness. Amen. This world needs to be delivered from what? Sin and darkness. That is what we bring to the table. We bring light and the life and the love of Jesus to what? Penetrate that darkness and set people free from the sin of unbelief of where they are. And it changes everything about them. Starts within.
Amen.
Starts within. And now they no longer persecuting the people of God. You know what they're going to automatically do? Because the Spirit poured out the love of God, love of Christ in them. Now they're going to love those that they once were an adversary to.
Amen. Come on.
Isn't that what happened with you? And it happened what Paul? Wasn't Paul an adversary of the people of God?
Amen.
Oh, but when Jesus was poured into his heart, what did he do? He laid his life down for the brethren. He became an advocate for the people of God. Same thing happened today. That person or those groups of people or wherever they are in the world and the agendas they have, man, they're adversaries. But tomorrow, maybe even today, they become the greatest advocate of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Just like that. With one transformational work of the cross of Calvary in their life. Look, verse 29. Man, this blesses me. For me. I'm just going to put Nick in there. Y'all put your name in there. When I read it, you say your name. How about that? Amen. Verse 29. For to you, Nick. Y'all say it. What's your name? Go ahead. For to you. Come on now. Y'all ain't saying it. Come on now. For to you, Nick. Boy, we got to get some rhythm going here, Keith. What's going on? For to you, Nick. I'm giving up. For to you, Rusty, it has been granted. It has been granted. Listen to that. It has been granted. The idea of being granted is the fact that this is a gift. It's been graciously granted. It's a gift. What is the gift? It is a gift on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to what? Suffer for His sake.
Amen.
Not suffer for my stupidity. Not suffer for my foolishness. But to suffer for... That's right. Amen. Remember said, if y'all can't say your name, He'll say it. Amen. Verse 30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now you hear is in me. That Paul was constantly under the threat of adversaries, but those threats were also gifts of triumph because they proved they were a token. They were a token to prove those who still didn't have Jesus, therefore they need Jesus, and those who had Him. So he goes on in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any comfort in Christ, if you His and you being comforted by Him, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if you have any of those things happening in this salvaging safe work of Jesus, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. And all God's people said,
Amen.
We've got to be careful. Remember, we want to stick with the right agenda, right? Let nothing be done with conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than yourself. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Man, that'll put us in a good position. Why? Because now we're going to start looking like somebody. Who are we going to start looking like? We're going to start looking like Jesus. Look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how Jesus lived. This is how He walked. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. Didn't consider it being cheated. Something to be held on to be considered, this is the idea, to be considered as equal with God. Now, why does it read that way? Well, verse 7 is going to say, what did Jesus do? Jesus made Himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above what? Every name. No matter what name is ever thrown out there, there ain't no name like Jesus.
Amen.
There ain't no one like Jesus. There ain't no one who everybody's going to bow to one day, as He says here. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? He didn't consider it as robbery. What it means is the fact that Jesus was not offended when people didn't recognize he was God.
Come on.
Was Jesus God? That's where we let's go to that first. Was he God?
Come on.
Well, instead of using the word was, can we say this? Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Did people treat him as if he was God?
No.
How did they think about him? What did they say about him? What was the deal with how they approached him? If they would have known that he was God, the Bible tells us that we just read it in Corinthians, if they would have known who he was, they would have never killed him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have killed him. Had they known. And the idea of knowing is that they could see him and know who he was for who he was, they would have never done what they did to him. They had no clue and still don't have a clue of who he is. But Jesus didn't see that he was being cheated or robbed by anyone or anybody if they didn't recognize him for who he is.
Amen.
That's that meek and lowly mind that we're to take upon. This world doesn't have to recognize us as disciples of Jesus.
Come on.
This world doesn't have to recognize us as being servants of the Most High. This world can look at us as being foolish and unwise, as being weak and feeble and needing a crutch of quote-unquote religion or the Bible, and mock us and go against us. But you know what? Did it affect Jesus? And when we are meek and lowly in heart, it will not move us to let that old ugly dead man out. What it'll do is keep us mortifying this flesh to saying, Lord, I don't want them to see me. I need them to see who? You in me. And that is where this war that we are in is in the battle. That's what we're dealing with. Because we're not fighting against what? People, flesh and blood. Man, I have to remember that because I see people do things. I hear about things that happen. I hear about events that are going on and things that are said and how they portrayed it and what they did. And if I'm not careful, you know what that'll do to me? It'll enrage me if I let it get under my skin, under my flesh. I let it get to me. Not that it doesn't initially grab me and have a sense of, I can't believe they would do that. Or, I hate that they did that. Man, it burdens me. But then what do I have to do? Instead of feeding that thought, I need to what? Let this mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus, who didn't see he was being cheated as what? A man who is God, who can't be recognized as God. And you see, Jesus is living in us that belong to him, and people don't always see Jesus in us, even when we are displaying Jesus before them. But if they don't see it, and they only see you, and they don't like you, that's okay.
Amen.
You keep humbly walking with him and demonstrating his love by which he loved you. What did he do for you and me when we didn't love him? He laid down his life. And he says, this is how we can know love. That while we didn't love him, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated, proved his love toward us and given us his son. And his son did what? Lay his life down for us when we didn't want anything to do with him. Matter of fact, we would mock him. We would despise him. But it didn't prevent him from doing what he did. And that same mind has to be in you and me. So when Paul approaches this idea of warfare and dealing with strongholds and thinking and accusations and speculations and arguments and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, what did he do? Like we ought to all do, take us back to Jesus. Take us back to Jesus. How do we do that? What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 teach us? Trust the Lord with what? You'll never get away from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you walk by faith. And y'all know we bring this up a lot, don't we? Why? Because it's fundamental. You'll never walk by faith without walking in the principles of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. What does it say again? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Our understanding is limited. We can only see a narrow view of any given circumstance, of any given day. We only see a partial part. We don't actually see necessarily the motive of a person. We don't see what's behind what's going on. We don't see all the elements and the factors that have played into what's going on. So we have to be very cautious to go beyond what we understand, because you know what assumption will do. Will assumption get you in trouble? Have you ever assumed things that somebody was thinking and you told them you assumed what they were thinking, but they really wasn't thinking that, but now you done planted a bad thought in their mind and now they are thinking what you thought they were thinking, but they wasn't thinking it, if that makes sense to you. People have done it with you before, hadn't they? They said, hey boy. They said, hey, I know what you're thinking. You said, no, I wasn't, but now I'm thinking it. Now you done planted a bad seed. I mean, now what do I have to do with that bad seed? I got to kick it out, right?
Amen.
I got to take it captive. Well, how do I do that? What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. What? Acknowledge him in all thy ways. In all your ways, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. How do we bring it to Jesus? Well, we ask the question, what did Jesus say when he dealt with this? What did Jesus do when he had to face this? How would Jesus handle this situation as he walked through this life? Well, see, the Word of God gives us answers to all those questions if we'll just go look to Jesus, right? If we would get in the Word. That's why it's so important to what? Hide the Word where? Why, as David would say, number one, he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, by taking heed to the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. I hid your Word, O Lord, in my heart that I may not what? Sin against you. Why? Because when things come into my life, I want to know what you said and why you said it and how you said it. So I want to grab it so that I can take this bad idea that I have, this wrong idea, or this corrupt thing, this error, and bring it in view to what you said. I could acknowledge you. And see, that is not only something that I do with my own journey, but I'm responsible to do it when Danny tells me something that don't make sense. That ain't up line with the Lord. I've got to be able to what? Take Danny and bring him to the truth. Or when Danny hears the preacher say something that doesn't line up with the Lord, he's the saved preacher. We need to think about this, because you remember what Jesus did and how he did it? And I said, oh yeah, that's right, Keith. Keith's helping me what? Acknowledge the Lord. And when we acknowledge him, what does he promise to do? He'll direct
our path.
How many of you want him to direct your path?
Amen.
We need him directing our path in every facet of our life. Now, we'll fail in it. But when we do, we quickly come back. We don't want that sin to be full grown. So we jump on it early, right?
Come on.
And ask God to sever it in our life so we can get our thinking back in order. Because look, the world we live in right now, there's so many ideas and so many thoughts and so many things that are coming out every day. You got to learn, I have to learn how to filter every one of those through the truth. I got to take it captive. Got to take it captive. Take it captive. But I got to have the truth in me, right?
Amen.
I got to have it in me to be able to grab it and measure it up to the truth. Because if I don't have it in me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be carried with this and with that, and I'm going to be tossed. You know what I'll be? The scriptures refer to it like this. The scripture says you'll be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine and change. Every day you'll be like the waves that are what? Tossed and fro by the wind. You'll be easily moved by the atmosphere that you're in. But it also speaks of it like this, that we are the head and not the what? The tail. See, a tail is drug around wherever the head goes. So wherever the head that is in our life is taking us, they drag us with it. And I'm not the tail. I'm the head, amen? And therefore, the crown on my head is to be the Lord who's directing me and not being the tail. And I don't want to be just led astray all over the map with what's going on in our society today. I want to be able to recognize what is wise and what is unwise. I want to recognize what is light and what is darkness. I want to be able to recognize what is truth and what is lies. Because every lie, every untruth, every falsehood, every wicked way, every ounce of darkness builds strongholds. Builds a stronghold in your mind. And if you're not careful, those strongholds just get fortified and bricked up to the point that you become a captive or a prisoner in the stronghold. And it takes the penetrating work of God to what? Penetrate that, to tear that stronghold down and every other argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, so that we can be what? Persuaded that God has our solution and we can trust Him with it. Amen? So we see in Philippians here where we're reminded that, hey, let this mind be in you. When they don't get us right, it's okay. When they don't get our stuff right, we understand. Does it burden us? Yes, but what's even more burdensome if I'm not going to the right one for the right solutions with the burden that I have? Amen? Amen. Because if I don't go to the right one with the burden, what's going to happen is I'm going to get unbalanced. And when I get unbalanced, I'm going to teeter off. And anybody on the teeter-totter with me, I'm gonna lose them too. So I gotta balance this out. Go back to Corinthians real quick before we wrap it up and come back tonight. He pleaded with them on the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in present is lowly among you, but in absence and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold. Paul knew he had to deal with some things, but he didn't want to go to them in that spirit. He's already told us, remember when you was reading through 1 Corinthians, that he said, I tried to persuade Apollos to come to you, and Apollos says he's not coming. Why? Because Apollos was one of the issues, wasn't he? Remember how the people said, well, I'm with Apollos. Some said I'm with Paul. Some said I'm with Peter. And some said I'm with this. And when Apollos got word what was going on, Paul encouraged him to go to Corinth. And he said he was animate that he was not coming. Paul said, I'm not coming. Because if I come right now, I'll probably do something I didn't intend to do. But I'm going to send somebody else and I'm going to let them lead you in these things because the tension is too high right now. That's good for all of us. If there's some animosity and you know some things are going on and you got to correct some things, it's always good to give it a little time so that they can cool off, you can cool off. Why? What do you want to do in it all? You want to glorify Jesus through it all. Amen? Amen. So he says here, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, in this human body, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty in the pulling, for the pulling down of strongholds. Okay. The idea of that which is carnal. Usually, 99% of the time, really, just about 100% of the time, in the scriptures, the reason the word carnal is used in regards to the flesh, it is used toward believers, Sandy. meaning that a believer has access to something else other than that which is natural. See, somebody in this world without Jesus, all they have is that which is common to every other man. But a believer, on the other hand, has access to that which is supernatural from God, but he doesn't always access it. And when he doesn't access it, he's operating in his own strength or her own strength. They're operating in carnality because they're choosing the lower means rather than the higher means by which they can function in this life. And what they're doing is common to other people, meaning anybody could do what you just did. You don't need Jesus to do it. That's the idea of carnality. What you said, or how you dealt with that situation, or how you thought about it, is common to everybody on the planet.
Amen.
It's just natural. Anybody could have done what you just done in their natural flesh. They didn't need the Spirit to do that. You see, but when the Spirit gets involved with the truth of God and His presence, things change from that which is natural and they become supernatural. And life, the supernatural life at work within that, is what is being manifested or seen. And the weapons of our warfare are not common to men. They're supernatural. And those supernatural weapons, that tool that we have, is able to penetrate an impenetrable stronghold wall to go in and rescue the captives behind it. Now, the strongholds are not something physical, and they're not people. They're the way people think. They're ideas that govern and guide people through life.
Amen.
And they come in all kind of forms and fashions. Right now, there's a big split across the country in ideals and way people think and who people support and eventually who people will vote for. And there's a battle in ideas over those thoughts. But see, we don't use common tools to wage war in this warfare. And our warfare is not against people. It's against the way people think and what they have built up in their life to support them in that thought process. And we take light, God's light, His life, and His love to do what? Penetrate into that darkness so that we can see people set free by Jesus and set free from his truth. Amen?
Amen.
That's the war that we're in every day. So when they come against it with their thoughts, we're not terrified by that.
Amen.
We're not shaken by that. Why? Because it's proof they still need Jesus, and it's proof, man, I've got somebody working in me, helping me. Why? Because my animosity is not against them. All I desire to do is tear down what they believe in and thinking so that they can see Jesus and put their confidence and trust in Him.
Amen.
And I'm just a vessel that they could abuse and misuse as they see fit, because my shepherd is more than able at any time to change them from being that adversary to an advocate to His glory. And I don't want to use common things. So how we talk to one another, if I'm talking to one another just like anybody else could talk with one another, meaning if I'm bashing and slandering and bad-mouthing and mocking, anybody can do that, right?
Come on.
Anybody can do that. Man, but to take a blow and to love them through the blow, now you're dealing with somebody else, amen.
Amen.
Now you're dealing with somebody. You're going from operating in pride to operating in the promises of God.
Amen.
And you become where you're more concerned about defending God's promise, not necessarily, because you ain't got to defend His promises. His promises stand alone. They don't need to be defended. But that means you standing with His promises more than you would be standing up for your pride. And man, we all need help. Amen. All need help. Because what bothers Pam and Keith may not bother me. But what bothers me may not bother Brother Shannon. But what bothers Brother Shannon may not bother Brother Charles. And vice versa. But see, the closer we all draw to the Lord and hearing from Him and learning from Him, Our one spirit and one mind is getting more condensed and tight on the narrow path that he's given us to walk in. And we support and stand with one another and stand up for one another and realize that, hey, he's called me to walk what? Worthy of the gospel.
Amen.
Worthy of the gospel. And that I've got to be careful about the agendas that I get caught up in. World may do it, but I don't have to.
Come on.
I got something that can change people's lives. Because he's changing my life through it. Amen. He's changing my life through it. So we'll gather back tonight, look at a few more things that I think just would be important for us about dealing with these things in everyday life. Man, if anybody wants to know and anybody can recognize something in us, you know what we want them to know? We love Jesus.
Yeah.
We love his people. We love his truth. And we'll lay our lives down to reach people for him.
Amen.
In this world we live in. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. Man, that preaches. That preaches. Life's lived out to his glory. Amen. Now you got to trust him though. You got to trust him. You got to trust him with your life. You got to believe him. Not believe about him. You got to believe him. You got to believe him. You got to take him at his word. And boy, will he make a difference in you, Brother Shannon?
Amen.
Woo, he sure will when we trust him. So let us pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We ask you to help us with this. I need this today more than anybody in here. And I pray that you will reinforce me. You'll keep me humble. You'll keep me low. You'll keep me meek, depending upon you. And that I recognize it's not in my might. It's not in my mind. It's not in our money's, none of those things avail, but that we glory in your wisdom, in your sanctification, in your righteousness, that we glory in the fact that you exercise your loving kindness and your judgment in the earth and those things you delight in. And so many things are out of our control, but one thing is today that we can commit ourselves to you and that you will establish the way we think. So, Lord, I surrender, ask you to do your work in me, and we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's room, and we need to go tell folks there's still room at the cross. Amen. Amen. Got to keep telling them, keep telling them, keep telling them, before it runs out for them. Because it may run out.
Amen.
Time may run out for them. But, boy, we want to stand in the gap in between and help.
Amen.
Anybody have anything before we go today?
School
tomorrow?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good deal, Carolyn.
Pray for me.
We sure will. We'll be praying for you. Anybody else have anything before we go?
Pray for me.
We will. Come on up here, Carolyn. Anybody else? All righty. Love y'all, and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for the sweet wonder of your message that helps us, Lord. We want you to grab our heart and mind, and that we can have the heart and mind of Christ, that we would be humble and kind and gracious and truthful in what you've come to do and how you make such a difference in the life. We're not always going to get it right. We recognize that. But help us throw our imperfections upon you. Help us confess when we get it wrong. And help us just help lift and edify other people so that you can be glorified in their life. So thank you for our faith family. Continue your favor upon them. Thank you for the giving, for the resources that you've provided today to do your work. And we're just going to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all.